Les colloques du Collège de France.
I'd like to thank Dominique Charpin and Antoine Jacquet for the invitation. And today I intend to present a corpus of temple loans from the archive of the Temple of Urash in Gerene. The importance of temples in the socio-political reality of ancient Mesopotamia is clearly attested in cuneiform documentation dating back to the earliest times. As a basic meaning, the temple was the abode of the divinity, connected to it, as the word itself indicates, but in Sumerian, Ichu, and in Akkadian, Bitum, house. Furthermore, temples functioned as the households of gods and over centuries accumulated great wealth represented by land, livestock, silver, and so on. In addition to their cultic activities, temples also played a leading role in the economy of the city from the very beginning. They were not only bureaucratic realities or abstract economic institutions, but were real work organizations within a wider social network, interacting as equals with the palace and the private sector. A unique function of the Mesopotamian temples attested in the cuneiform documentation of the old Babylonian cities is represented by the commercial use of their funds for loans, both with and without interest rate, or investment in a business. The most peculiar feature of the barley or silver loans granted by the temple to private citizens, the so-called temple loans, is that they are worded as if it was the divinity himself granting a loan of barley or silver to the debtor who has to repay it to the god without a human intermediary. But now let's see an example. This is a loan contract from Sippar dated to the 8th year of the reign of Abishu, a ruler of the first dynasty of Babylon. The translation, Idin Shamash has received from the god Shamash 5.5 shekels of silver. At harvest time, he shall give to Shamash the silver and its interest. And then there are two witnesses and a date. Today, I intend to present new data based on a corpus of 67 tablets housed in the British Museum. They record loan contracts and debt notes belonging to the archive of the temple of the god Urash, excavated in the 19th century at the site of Gerene, that is 20 kilometers north of Babylon. Most of these documents are dated to the last years of Amiditana's reign, who ruled between 6083 and 6040 BC, namely to his 35th and 36th regnal years. The group of tablets found in Gerene may be considered an archive, since the tablets are interrelated by their content as well as by the persons mentioned in them. But first, I will give a brief overview of the Old Babylonian Temple Loan Corpus. The Old Babylonian Temple Loans were first studied in the 60s by Rivka Harris, while the most recent comprehensive study is that of Dominique Charpin. Since the time of Harris' pioneering study, the documentation is much richer and requires a new updated study. The number of temple loans identified to date is 500, which is almost three times the number of texts known to Harris in the 1960s, it was 170, and 2.5 times the corpus known to Charpin at the time of writing his article, which amounted to over 200 tablets. But let's see a few numbers in detail. About 100 of these tablets are still unpublished, only mentioned in museum catalogs. Of the remaining tablets, 2/3 were published in articles and volumes, and 1/3 only as hand copies in catalogs. For some of them, about 20% of the total, The city of origin is not known, or at most the area, south, north, etc., is indicated in museum notes or catalogues. However, once the prosopographic and formulary characteristics of these documents have been examined in detail, it will probably be possible to identify the city, or at least the area of origin. Since the temple loans provided with date formulas do not form a systematic unit, it is only possible to describe the period in which these texts are attested in a general way. The earliest contracts date from the Isin-Larsa period. The oldest ones are dated to Sumuel's reign, while most of them date to the first dynasty of Babylon, with the most recent temple loans dating back to Samsuddintana's reign. Therefore, this text covers a period of time of over 2.5 centuries. Temple loans come from all over Mesopotamia, from southern Babylonia, from Ur, Uruk, and Larsa, from central Babylonia, Nippur, Kisurra, Adab, and northern Babylonia, Sippar, Gerainé, Kish, Tsupur-Shubula, Dilbat, from the Diyala Basin, Nereptum, Tutub, Shaduppum, Meturan, from the Middle Euphrates, Yablia, Alkapim, Harradum, Mari, and Terka, and also from Susa. From some cities, we have only a few scattered tablets. In some lucky cases, however, we can count on a large group of loan contracts that come from the temple archives. This is the case, for example, with the temple of Sin in Tutub, whose archive was published by Harris in 1955, where about 50 temple loans were found, and the temple of Urash in Gerainé, which provided 67 temple loans. We must also mention the archives of the Sinkashid Palace in Uruk, published by Sanati Müller in 1988, which include a collection of 33 texts recording barley loans from the granary of the goddess Aninana. Who grants the loan? The creditor can be the god alone, rarely two deities but never more, or the god together with a human partner in the so-called joint loans. When the creditor is the deity himself, the text is formulated as if the debtor had received the barley or the silver directly from divinity and should repay it to him or her without a human intermediary. In most cases, it is the sun god Shamash who grants the loan, alone or together with a human co-creditor. In the ancient Mesopotamian pantheon, Shamash was associated with the truth and justice, which seemed to justify his activity as a creditor. This also led to the hypothesis that his temple operated as a kind of banking institution. However, it is now clearly established that in any given city, this type of loan was in no way exclusive to the god Shamash, as can be seen from this chart showing all the divinities who are attested as creditors in the studied documentation. In addition to Shamash, there are three more attested divinities. The moon god Nanna or Sin, who is the next most frequently mentioned god. Then we have the god Urash, who grants loans only in the city of Gerainé. Urash is known to be the tutelary deity of Dilbat, but he was worshipped in other cities, including Babylon, Kish, and Gerainé. Finally, there is the goddess Inanna Ishtar, who grants exclusively loans of barley. Then we find many different gods acting as creditor, some of which are attested only once. According to the catalogue of the British Museum, the old Babylonian tablets of the collection 1881-0701 coming from the excavations of Hormuz-Rassam have been excavated at the site of Gerainé, whose Babylonian name remains unknown, located 20 kilometers north of Babylon. They have been housed in the British Museum since 1881. This corpus of tablets amounts to 94, of which 67 record loan contracts or debt notes, which were granted by the god Urash, who is known to be the tutelary deity of Dilbat. In detail, we have 38 loans and 25 debt notes. Of four very fragmentary tablets, we cannot establish what kind of contract they recorded. The remnant 27 tablets record receipts of goods, barley, silver, wool, sesame oil, or distributions, also in tabular form, of barley rations, chickpeas, and sesame. This group of tablets has not yet been properly studied. A description of the content was provided in the late 1990s by Kessler. A detailed study was announced by Rosel Pintka-Hintz in 1990s, then abandoned, and is now being prepared by Pintka-Hintz and myself. In this volume, in addition to the edition of the tablets, we will also try to examine the obligatory relationship between man and God. All the tablets in this group, whether loans or debt notes, are quite small, measuring 3 to 4 centimeters per side, mostly square in shape. And all the tablets, all the tablets, there is the seal of witnesses. As far as dating is concerned, the oldest contract is dated to Amiditana 32 and the most recent to Amistaduka 12. However, most of the contracts are concentrated between Amiditana 35 and 36. In particular, a true peak is noted in the year 36 of Amiditana. In addition, there are a certain number of tablets in which the date has been lost and others that can be generically attributed to the reign of Amiditana or Amistaduka without precise indication of the year. To be lent is essentially barley, with exception of a single loan contract in which a small amount of silver, half a shekel, is borrowed by a certain Lulu, who is identified as a Dumu Eduba, which I simply translate as scribe, even if the meaning and above all the difference between this title and Dubsar are not at all evident. The quantity of barley borrowed ranges from a minimum of 1 barig, 60 liters, up to very large quantities of several gur, with a maximum of 15 gur, equal to 4,500 liters, borrowed from a certain Belshunu, son of Urash Iddinam. All the loans are to be repaid at harvest time to the granary from which the debtor had received it. This time of repayment is valid also for the only silver loan. As far as debtors are concerned, they usually receive only one loan from the Urash temple. Only a certain Kurdi Ishtar, son of Buratum, is found receiving 2 loans in the same year. First, he borrows 360 liters, then another 450, after 2 months. The contracts are dated to the 6th and the 8th months of Amiditana 36, respectively. On the contrary, the same people often occur among the witnesses. The most attested ones are Iddatum, son of Urash Belzeri, 24 times, Ibn Adad, son of Iliaribam, 33 times, and Hai Amshi, son of Simbel Akshak, 21 times. Among them, only Hai Amshi appears once as a debtor. To the best of my knowledge, the personal name Simbel Akshak is not attested elsewhere. The only attestation of such a name appears in a tablet from Sippar where the name is Sin Shar Akshak. All contracts, but loans and debt notes, are extremely repetitive, so much so that it is possible to extrapolate a pattern where the only variables are the quantity of barley lent, or silver in the only case in which is lent, the identity of the borrower and of the witnesses, which are usually two in number, sometimes only one or three, and the date. These are the patterns of both types of contracts. The set form of the long contract is thus made up of the following sequence of clauses: amount of the loan, contracting parties, the god Urash acting as the creditor and the debtor, the repayment clause, and finally, the list of witnesses and the date. The expression ca dubani numea is the only element that may or may not appear. It is present in over the half of the long contracts, 21 out of 38. It is an artificial Sumerianizing clause for ezub pikanikishu, meaning disregarding the content of his previous tablet. Only once this expression is worded in Akkadian. To the best of my knowledge, dub ani, instead of the expected dub ani or dubani, is attested only once in a barley loan from Lagaba dated to Hammurabi 38. And this is the translation. PN1, son of PN2, has received from the god Urash, Tot Barley, disregarding the content of his previous tablet. At harvest time, he shall return the barley to the granary from which he received, two witnesses and the date. The set form of the debit notes is made up of the following sequence of clauses. After a settlement of accounts, the deficit still to be paid occurs. Then we have the contracting parties, the god Urash and the debtor, the repayment clause, and finally, the list of witnesses and the date. The only variation occurs in a text where the following formula appears. At harvest time, she will measure the barley to the bearer of his sealed tablet. Since this formula appears only once in the entire corpus of contracts, it is not possible to establish whom it refers to. This formula, which appears in other long contracts, has been variously interpreted by scholars. Some maintain that the bearer of a sealed tablet is the actual owner of the loan. In our cases, it would be the god Urash. Others maintain that the recipient can be an agent of the creditor himself. In any case, this clause indicates the right of the creditor to transfer the loan to another person. And the translation, the accounting of the barley that the god Urash gave to PN1, son of PN2, has been settled and deducted. PN1 still owes to Urash tot barley. At harvest time, he shall return the barley to the granary from which he received. Two witnesses and a date. As is evident from the previous slides, not only do loan agreements and debt notes follow a pattern, but we also find identical elements between the two patterns. In fact, the second part, where the clause of repayment appears with the list of witnesses and the date, is identical for both types. As I told before, according to the catalogue of the British Museum, this group of tablets has been excavated at the site of Gerene. However, there are some hints that point to a very close relationship with the city of Gilbat, of which Urash was the tutelary deity. First of all, the expression Kadubani Numea occurs mostly in texts recording harvester contracts from Dilbat, dated to the reigns of Amiditana and Amisaduka. Some people mentioned in this archive could be identified with people frequently attested in documents from Dilbat. For example, Awilatum, son of Iluni, who appears while borrowing a barley loan in our text BM 43255, could be the same person as a certain Awilishum, son of Iluni, frequently attested in documents from Dilbat dated to the period of time between Amiditana 32 and Amisaduka 16. The presence in some personal names of the archive of the name of the Urash temple in Dilbat, namely Eibianum, for example, in the personal name Ishem Ina Eibianim, and Rish Eibianum. All these hints must certainly be further investigated, but they already seem to suggest that this archive has a close relationship with Dilbat. And now, in conclusion, the archive of the Temple of Urash in Gerene is a homogeneous corpus limited to a period of about 17 years, mostly concentrated in just 2 years, the years 35 and 36 of the reign of Amiditana. The good supplied by Urash is almost exclusively barley, usually granted in small quantities to be returned at the time of harvest, delivering it in the same granary from which it was received. In this case, therefore, it would seem that the loan granted by the temple was charitable, extended probably to people in distress, also because no interest rate is indicated to be added to the capital. A point to investigate and deepen concern the close relationship that seems to exist between our archive and the city of Dilbat, site of the temple of Urash named Eibianum. As regards the persons involved in the transactions, it is interesting to note that while debtors do not appear more than once, with only one exception, witnesses appear several times, some of them in over 20 contracts. And thank you for your attention.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-de-france.fr.